In the fall of 1945, the European service of the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, aired a radio program that interviewed folks who had gone through the war, not only on the Allied side, but also on the other side, as a way of folks giving reflections of what they experienced in the war. And it was during that broadcast that one of the people they interviewed was a German Christian soldier who was for a while a prisoner of war, and they didn't give his name but just gave his initials. But during his reflection, he relayed this story. He said, in a shelter in Cologne, Germany, which was essentially a basement, the home was owned by Roman Catholics who were essentially keeping safe some Jews who were in hiding in that house, in the basement. And when soldiers came into that house, American soldiers or Allied soldiers, they went into the basement and didn't really know people were hiding there, except that they found an inscription. It said this: I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in God, even when God is silent. And I believe in love, even when it is not apparent. I'm going to say that again. This is what they found in that basement. I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. I believe in God even when he is silent, and I believe in love even when it is not apparent. That story actually has made the circuit in many different ways. After this was broadcast, people took this story, they embellished it, they changed it, but these words have stayed the same. And it points to one thing. It points to hope. And it was hope that is not realized. It's not hope defeated, but it certainly isn't hope that is realized. I mean, it's not a new story. For as long as humans have had faith, there's also been hope. For example, some of you know that 2 weeks ago, our furnace went out, and it was out all the way until after Christmas. It was fixed on Wednesday, and 3 days later, my furnace is broken again. I am out without heat. We're without heat. We're doing the best we can. I talked about this on Christmas. I felt like I'm living in a stable. Now we've added Meemaw's dog, so it's even more like a barn. So I have hope that we will have heat again someday. But that hope, amen, I need an amen, right? But hope that is not realized as of yet, because hope is an aspect of faith. Hope believes in something that has not happened yet, or the evidence around you says it ain't gonna happen, but you hold on to a hope that it will. And even today, what Robin read to us, we hear glimpses of hope of two people. It's unrealized in their lives, but there's enough of a glimpse that keeps their faith burning strong, and it keeps them moving forward. So you heard what happened. Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus, and they do what is expected of them as religious people. They go to consecrate their firstborn at the temple in Jerusalem. And this is a well-laid-out expectation in the law of Moses. And you might be wondering, what's the deal with that? Well, let me tell you. It's about giving thanks to God when God has done something. We call it often first fruits giving. Before you do anything else, you give thanks for what God has done and how God has provided. Now, in those days, it was a very patriarchal society. It was male-dominated, so consecrating a firstborn male was an acknowledgement that God had provided an heir, that God had provided lineage, that the family name would continue, and that was a big deal back then. It wasn't just that, but it was also a thank you. In the same way that farmers back then, once they gathered in the harvest, before they'd even go take it to market to sell to make money to feed their family, they would take some of that to the temple and offer it to God as a thank you. First fruits giving. Maybe some of you remember when you had your first job and you got your first paycheck. I'm going to remember this. You stare at that paycheck and you'd be like, you know, I'm kind of an adult now. I have real money, and you kind of want to hold on to it, but you also know you need to deposit it into your account. You know, or shopkeepers, I've mentioned this before, that somebody who had opened a business, a restaurant, or, you know, cleaners or whatever, sometimes you'll see like a dollar pinned up on the back wall because it is a reminder of all that work that went into actually opening the doors of that business to kind of memorialize the first fruits of earning money. Hope that is realized. So this was just a way to put God first by consecrating the firstborn male, just like everything else. So that's what Mary and Joseph were doing. They were consecrating this baby, and Mary, I think, maybe would have sensed that this was a little redundant. I mean, it was the right thing to do. That's what the law said, but this baby was not just to be consecrated to God, it was from God. This baby was God. And that's not even the main part of the story. That's just the background of what they were doing in Jerusalem. The story is more about the interruptions. It's not about the consecration. It's about the interruptions on the way to consecration. And first comes this guy named Simeon. I mean, we hear the backstory. He's full of faith. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is really kind of fancy Bible talk for. He was waiting for one who would bring comfort to the people in distress. And he was told that he would see this comforter before he dies. So Jesus and Mary and the baby Jesus come to the temple. And they run into Simeon, who has unrealized hope, until he sees that baby and he picks up this little Jesus who's only a month old at this point and begins to praise God. But I can't help but think, as a parent, that this is a little disconcerting. I mean, I was never big on sharing the baby, like at grocery stores, like you're walking, oh, look at the cute baby, stay away from my baby. You know, like, this isn't like church. This is like temple with lots of strangers and like some old guy coming up and picking up your baby. I mean, I'd be kind of like, what's going on? This wasn't like the local synagogue where you knew everybody. But he picks up the baby and he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory and for the glory of your people Israel." I mean, it's really strong stuff, but what essentially he is saying is, I can die in peace, I can die a happy man because my hope is realized. This baby will be a light to the world and not just Israel. A moment where his hope is tangible. I mean, I'm sure Mary had an inkling of all of this, but it would be surprising nonetheless. I mean, all I can think of when I picture this is Mary saying something like this. You know, okay, would you just give us the baby back? Like, that's great, but it seems a little odd. But he wasn't done. Then he blessed Mary and Joseph by saying the oddest thing. He says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And you will be a sign that will be spoken against. You hear that? Like this baby's not going to have an easy life because people will speak against him. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul too. In other words, it's not a literal sword, but he's saying your heart will be broken by the things that will happen in this child's life. So in the midst of Simeon having his hope realized, Mary hears that sometimes there will be sadness too. But it's not completely realized, right? He won't see this child grow up. He won't see Jesus become a man and teach and heal and die on the cross and be risen by the Father on Easter morning. But this is enough for him. A little bit of hope to hold on to something. And it was enough for him. But if that wasn't enough, right? As soon as Simeon is done talking, another person comes up to him. Anna, another faith-filled person, sees what Simeon is up to, and she comes over, and she says, oh, this baby is going to redeem Jerusalem, which is a different way to say, this baby is going to grow up and be the one who pays the ransom, not just for Jerusalem, the city, but the people. Anyone who'd listen to one who'd be the deliverer, she was going to talk about it. Another person who had their hope realized, but at the same time, not completely, because she would never live long enough to see all of this. But it was enough. We didn't hear them complaining, saying, well, this is fine, but I'd really like to live longer to see it all happen. This was enough, and it sustained them. Now, we don't know what kind of conversation Mary and Joseph had at the end of this. I mean, it says they marveled at what Simeon said, but you can't think that it didn't throw them a little bit. New parents, unusual pregnancy, words of prophecy. I mean, not quite normal, but it was preparing them for what is kind of coming up in the future. So it's not surprising that after all of this happens, this is what Luke says happened. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own hometown. I mean, they left town. Like, okay, enough excitement. We're going back to this little town in Galilee up north, little Nazareth, where we can watch over this baby, someplace where it is safe for now. And that's exactly what they did. But it is hope that carried not baby Jesus, but Anna and Simeon. And it reminds me of the fact that as we end a year and begin a new year, it is hope that will carry all of us into 2018. I mean, as the hymn goes, right, that we sang last Sunday, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Including 2018. And I can't help but wonder and ask you rhetorically, what are the unrealized hopes of your life as we enter 2018? What are the things that you will work toward in faith to bring into reality in this coming year? I mean, I think about our hopes. In the coming year, we got one graduating college. You're finishing high school on the same day. We got it worked out. We will be there. Okay, just we're going to be there. We have hopes for you and for your sister as you begin a new chapter in your life. We will support you guys as you kind of open a new part of your life. And when I say support you, I don't mean just money. So we're clear. We'll help there too. We got another one who's not in school. He's trying to figure out who he's going to be. We have hopes for him too. And we can't figure it out for him, but we're here to love and support him as well. I mean, those are just a few of our hopes for this year, right, Rach? Yeah. So if we can help with some of it, that's what we're going to do. Some of it is out of our hands. But we know someone who can help and will always walk with all of us, that baby born in the manger in Bethlehem, and that my unrealized hopes rest in the one who promises to walk with us always. And that's good news. So I was kind of surprised that on Friday, just a couple of days ago, Max and I went to go see the new Star Wars movie. And I know some of you have no interest and no idea what this movie, these movies are about, other than it's about stars and wars. But and some of you are totally into it. Some of you haven't seen it. Some of you have. Some of you will never see it. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but at the end of the movie, the good guys had taken a beating. They're on the run. They've sustained heavy losses. And all they're, I would say, somewhat safe for now. Ultimately, things don't look good. The main heroine of the movie is concerned about what will happen next because things have been so bad. Things have been so hard. And as she reflects on what happens now, the general who's in charge of this ragtag group of rebels says this: "We have all we need right here. We have all we need right here." And it was like an epiphany for me, even though it's not even the season of epiphany. That's next week. Like, I'm jumping the gun. I'm still in Christmas, and I have an epiphany. I'm like, Lord, let it wait for a week. And it occurred to me when I heard that was, whether it's individually or within families or even larger issues, we have all we need right here. So when I heard that line, you know what I thought of? I thought of all of you. And I thought of this church. That when things look dark, and when even things look bright, we have all we need right here because we have each other and we have Christ. I mean, that was good news right there in the movie theater. So I know whatever comes in 2018, we are a blessed community. We're a blessed family of faith because it is here in which we will find consolation and comfort. We will find redemption and hope for whatever lies ahead. So with that, I say to you, Happy New Year and Amen.
A shout of love on this New Year's Day. Leave the past like it was yesterday. Come and stand on higher ground. Ring in the new day, let it sound, let it sound. Just lay it down. All is forgiven. A shot of love makes all things new. Like nothing else on earth can do.